Sing live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
On WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Happy Thursday, everyone. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, the coldest team in town, now offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. If you would like more information, you can go to their website, gogginkold.com. Coming up at 4:35, always enjoy visiting with this guest, Scott Hamilton, Olympic gold medalist as far as in figure skating. Coming up later this month on Sunday, November 24th at Bridgestone Arena, the fourth annual Scott Hamilton and Friends. And I've been to the first three. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make this one.
Oh, come on. Why?
I'm really disappointed. Well, the Titans are playing.
Oh, well, this is a once-in-a-lifetime deal. Titans got two or three more home games.
I have to be at the game, unfortunately. So I'm like, hello, Scott, could you not like schedule this around my schedule this time? But this is, and I don't know if you've ever been to this or not, but if you haven't, this is like major thumbs up because, you know, outstanding figure skaters, you know, not just from a U.S. standpoint, but from a world standpoint, and they're skating to live music. You know, nice. This is co-hosted by Sheryl Crow. Special guest this year, Kenny Loggins, Gavin DeGraw. You have Jonathan Cain of Journey, wrote a lot of the Journey's big hits back in the day as well. I mean, just some incredible folks. And it's the best part about it, too, is all for a great cause. The proceeds benefit the Scott Hamilton Cares Foundation. When you think about the ambassadors of sports and the impact that they have in the community here in Nashville, we always bring up the name, like, for example, Tim Corbin. Scott Hamilton, right there in that mix, and certainly looking forward to visiting with him at 4:35. Coming up just after 5, Joe Rexroad, columnist with The Athletic. You can catch his work at theathletic.com/Nashville. We'll talk Titans, Vols, Vandy, and more. At 5:35, Doug Segrist, our good buddy down in Birmingham, formerly with the Nashville Banner. He is now in Birmingham on the TV show The Zone on ABC 3340, talking about this week's SEC football schedule. And then in the 6 o'clock hour, David Basil, not only a talk show host in Little Rock with 103.7 The Buzz, he is also the founder of the Frank Broyles Award, yep, which is given out each and every year to the top assistant coach in the country. So looking forward to visiting with David at 6:05. And then at 6:35, Brian Matthews. There's supposed to be like a big game in the SEC this weekend down on the Plains.
Never heard of it.
At Auburn. That's right. Georgia taking on the Auburn Tigers. I said it back in July. I've said it earlier this year. I'll say it again. Auburn will beat Georgia coming up on Saturday. And we'll visit with Brian Matthews. He's with AuburnSports.com. We'll talk about that. And the thoughts that Auburn certainly, you know, maybe Auburn can't make it to the college football playoff. But they're going to impact the Pac-12. They're going to impact an Alabama team. Could impact, obviously, this week, a Georgia squad as well. 615-844-5600 if you'd like to be a part of the show. Let's start things off with Jeff from the Borough. Welcome.
What's going on, Ballpark? How you doing?
I am awesome. You know, football season, unfortunately, I mean, it just seems like yesterday we just started, and
well,
here
that,
we are.
That's the way, Ballpark, that's the way it is.
I hate it, though. Slow it down. I just slow it down a little bit.
Well, everybody says that every year. It starts, then we get to the end. Oh, where'd football season go? Every single year.
I just love college. You know, to me, there's just nothing compares. I love college football. Well, always will love college football until my final breath above the ground.
I understand. I did want to ask you, though, have you heard any rumors about the Florida State coaching job? I know you're a—
Have I heard rumors? Absolutely, I've heard rumors. You know, there have been a lot of rumors.
You're not going to tell us any coaching candidates? You're going to give us any candidates you want to have that job?
Well, as long as whoever gets hired, they're an offensive-minded coach, and Kendall Briles will not be retained, I'll be happy. And that's what I've told the Seminole boosters. I told them the same thing. First of all, A, Willie Tigers gone, good. Secondly, it'd be nice to take some of the administration with him. But until then, whoever gets hired, as long as they take Kendall Browse and say, bye-bye, see you later, I'll be happy.
But don't you think all of the assistants are going to be gone anyway?
No, that doesn't happen. I mean, look at the current interim head coach. He's been the assistant coach for Florida State since, the 90s, since his playing days were over in the NFL.
They're not going to name him coach.
Well, no, they're not going to name him, but, you know, he is 3-0 as an interim head coach, 2-0 from 2 years ago, and 1-0. I mean, look, they beat a Boston College team they weren't supposed to beat back 2 years ago. They beat Florida, remember, as one of those wins that they needed to get to be a bowl eligibility.
Yeah, well, I think they'll find somebody, so I don't know.
I agree. No, they're going to get somebody with head coaching experience.
No, I just don't know who they're going to hire, but you know, that's their administration as far as that goes. But I did want to ask you too. What do you think? I know Auburn and Georgia's a big game this weekend. But what do you think about the other games in the league? Of course, Kentucky plays Vanderbilt. But I did want to ask you too. do you think the SEC is going to fill all their bowl slots? Because I was looking at the standings, and in the East, there's only two teams right now that are bowl eligible, and there's four teams in the West.
Well, you got Georgia, Florida, those two will make it. Tennessee will get one, at least one, if not two wins in their final two games, so they'll get there. Missouri, we don't even know if they're going to be allowed to play in a bowl. They're still waiting for their appeal process to be heard. But right now, you know, they would not, you know, right now they would, if they get the additional win, they'll be in. Because as long as you're under appeal and the NCAA has not ruled against you,
you're
still allowed to go bowling. As far as, you know, Kentucky at nine wins, when you look at Kentucky's schedule, they only need two more wins in their final three. I think they'll get there. So, and then you look on the west side, there's LSU, Alabama, Auburn, A&M. So four teams already there. The problem will be, I think you only get one of the Ole Miss, Mississippi State situation. And Ole Miss is not going to get there because with two games, they're not beating LSU. So you can say Ole Miss is out. And so for Mississippi State at 4-5, they're not going to beat Alabama this week. It'll come down to Mississippi State having to beat Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl, whether or not Mississippi State gets in. So
yeah, South Carolina's probably not going to make it. They still got to play Clemson, though.
Yeah, South Carolina. Well, here's the thing. Everybody's already saying not giving South Carolina a chance at all against Clemson. Only thing I know is Clemson in four straight years, including 2016 and 17, when they were favored by three touchdowns, they lost. And then last year, favored by three-plus touchdowns, needed a final drive in the fourth to pull one out against Syracuse. And then this year, a three-plus touchdown favored against North Carolina, and North Carolina decides to go for two. They could have had the lead with over a minute to go, or just over a minute to go.
I was going to ask you, too, do you really think Tennessee's going to get it? We said the same thing last year, didn't we?
I think this is a different team. And, you know, look, if Tennessee does what they did last year and not show up against Missouri Vanderbilt, absolutely not. But do I think they'll get one win at least, if not two? Yes. And especially now that you can dangle the carrot in front of them, you get two wins, you're going to be playing on New Year's Day in the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville. It certainly makes it more inviting for you instead of, say, going to Shreveport. No offense to Shreveport or any of those other, but a little bit better knowing that, hey, if you play your brand of football, win your last two games, you're going to be most likely in Jacksonville on New Year's Day.
Well, I think most Tennessee fans will just take a bowl game wherever it is. I don't think they're really thinking, to be honest.
Well, no, but the players would much rather be in Florida.
I'm sure they would. I don't doubt them for a minute there, but I'm just saying, because everybody said, the players said last year, I heard some of the players said last year that they weren't interested in going to a small bowl game. That's why they lost those last two. So that's what they said they kept saying last year. So, but we'll have to wait and see. I mean, there's two more weeks. They've got 2 weeks to wait. We'll see if Pruitt starts Garantano or if he starts Maurer, and then Garantano comes and saves him in the second half, you know. So we'll have to see if he's still mad at Garantano.
Well, Garantano played last year. This year it's Garantano. So
I get whatever it is. He probably won't start him. He'll play Maurer or Shrout, and then Garantano or Tano, whatever his name is, will come off the bench. And like I said, but so hopefully Tennessee this time, I mean, Tennessee won't dig himself as big as a hole as they did against Kentucky. So we'll have to wait and see. But enjoy the show and have a good one.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you.
I mean, Garantano has been playing the last couple of weeks, I think. I mean, you look at him.
Well, the problem is, and we were having this conversation yesterday when we were visiting with Will West, is the fact that, you know, you don't want to go one way and then pull the switcheroo, and then all of a sudden you lose by one drive. You know, you lose by four when you could have had Garantano, who's playing more consistently. But, you know, there's still they're being lured to go with Brian Mauer if he's healthy. And then, you know, at some point you got to go, okay, look, we got to play our best quarterback. And no offense to Brian Mauer, Jarrett Garantano gives you the best chance from the start to win this. And it's not like in basketball where you can start, you know, your five out there, and then after the first media timeout, 3 or 4 minutes in, then you bring in your sixth man off the bench. It's a little bit different situation. Because, you know, your drive opportunities in football, they're at a premium. Yeah. You know, you can't – I mean, that's why you look back at Alabama and LSU. They weren't thinking second half. That's why Alabama, after LSU had just scored in less than 2 minutes ago before halftime, what did Alabama do? They tried to push it downfield instead of just going into the locker room down by 13. They tried to push it. Tua Tagovailoa gets intercepted, and then what happens, LSU scores again before the half of the touchdown. So instead of being down by 13, now you're down by 20. So the point I'm making is that, you know, you look at these drive opportunities, whether it's in the first half or second half, you know, those are opportunities that once they go bye-bye, that they're gone. It's not like in the fourth quarter, oh, can we have a do-over back in that first quarter on the drive when, say, Mauer was in there and we didn't have a Garantano in there? It doesn't work that way.
No.
So, and I think now knowing the importance – you know, for this football program under Jeremy Pruitt, you know, it just like, you know, what Jeff was talking about, is it going to be similar to what happened last year where the team didn't show up in three of their last four games? Charlotte in the fourth game left in the regular season, and then the last two, Missouri and Vanderbilt. This year's team needs to win these two games and needs to be playing on New Year's Day when they have the attention of the football universe. And this is where that program needs to start building on and moving forward. That's why it's important for them to finish out, because given the choice of a 7-5 A&M team and a 7-5 Tennessee team, knowing that Texas A&M played there last year, they're going to take Tennessee. That, you know, it's just the way it works in the football universe.
Right, because they don't, you know, they'd rather have somebody different than the same ones over and over again. But I think, you know, Tennessee is at a place right now. I don't know if it's a really good idea to have a bye right now. I mean, they're on a roll, and now you get a bye week to where you can just, you know, practice and chill and have fun and all that. Can they be mature enough and not get it in their head and think, well, we're going to go to Missouri and win. We'll go to Vandy, or we'll play Vandy and win, of course. I mean, they're still 5-5, but I still think they've got the talent. They've been playing a lot better. They can beat Missouri and Vandy and go 7-5.
Well, and this is also a learning opportunity for Jeremy Pruitt as head coach, because last year he failed this test miserably as far as finishing the season strong and a team that had the chance to get to bowl eligibility and didn't make it. And so he has a chance, because here's the last thing you want. Now, Vanderbilt would love it, but the last thing you want if you're Tennessee – you cannot lose to Vanderbilt for the fourth straight time.
No.
You can't do that. If you're Tennessee trying to be relevant in the East and trying to tell everybody, hey, we've turned the corner, we're heading into the offseason on a positive note, we're, you know, after that 1-4 start, all of a sudden now we've won six out of our last seven with the only loss to Alabama. And now you're playing on a bowl game on New Year's Day. You see all the pauses building up without that momentum heading into 2020. The last thing you want to do is end the season, like last year, losing to Missouri, losing to Vanderbilt, and finish with a 5-7 record.
Exactly.
And there's no excuse for that. I mean, tell me where your optimism and your hope, if you're a fan of Tennessee, knowing what you just said about how well they've been playing in recent weeks, and if they don't finish the job, because we said all that they had built up to, even going into last Saturday on the road in Lexington against Kentucky, if they didn't stop Kentucky on that goal line stand, if Kentucky found a way to score, you throw all that out the window. Mm-hmm. Forget about wins against Mississippi State and South Carolina and UAB and playing Alabama close. None of that mattered because of how lousy of a start you began, and then, bam, you lose a game that Tennessee should own, go in, because they've owned that series forever, for three decades plus, And although last year a Kentucky team, you would have given Tennessee the outset, knowing it was Kentucky's one of its best seasons in the history of their program. If Tennessee had lost to Kentucky last year, you'd go, okay, I can see that. But it didn't happen. They win 24-7 against a team that enjoyed a double-digit win season for only the third time going back to the early 50s.
Yeah.
I mean, what Mark Stoops is doing now with Kentucky, going in this past Saturday, he was two wins shy at home to equal Bear Bryant's record as number of wins at home. That's the territory Mark Stoops is in, and that's, you know, so you go to last week. I in so many ways, you could say last week's game was probably a bigger win just because this momentum continues than even last year.
Right.
Because it means more now. First year, you can make excuses and say it's the first year we're trying to build upon and lay this foundation, not brick by brick. Don't want to go there. But now there's no excuses. This team is better than Missouri. This team is better than Vanderbilt. You're 5-5, finish the season 7-5. You get rewarded with a bowl trip on New Year's Day to the Gator Bowl, and then you build upon that going into the offseason.
Yep, totally agree with you. I mean, that's all Tennessee's got to do. I know it's easier said than done, but Missouri's vulnerable, and Vandy is definitely vulnerable. So you just got to continue the way you've been playing, and good things will happen.
615-844-5600 if you'd like to be a part of the show. 844-5600. The NFL week gets off tonight. The Cleveland Browns on TV again.
Oh, man. What is this, like the ninth time out of 10?
No, it's not that bad.
I know it's not, but it feels like it.
3-6 Cleveland Browns. I like Cleveland, by the way, to win this game at home as they are taking on the very hot Pittsburgh Steelers team. But that starts this week. Couple of like major games involving on Sunday as far as teams from the AFC South. But if you'd like to weigh in, we'll talk NFL, college football, whatever's on your mind. 615-844-5600. This segment brought to you by Brinkman's Wine and Spirits. You know, whether we're talking about his favorite bourbon or her favorite bottle of wine, magic moments begin at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits in Brentwood. So whether hosting a party or just looking for a nice bottle of wine for dinner, you can't go wrong with Brinkman's Wine and Spirits with an impressive array of wines and spirits to choose from. Now, how many times have you been in a supermarket wandering up and down the wine aisle, getting more confused and frustrated by the minute, and then when you ask for help, they know less than you do? Well, Tim Brinkman and the staff at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits will make you feel welcomed and appreciated. They have a passion for personal service to help you make the best selection for your specific taste and budget. The originator of local bourbon tastings, there's always opportunities to discover new spirits and wines. Looking for gift ideas? It's that time of year, you know, we're talking about. They can assist you with suggestions for all occasions. So rediscover Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, located at 7110 Town Center Way. It's just east of Franklin Road and the roundabout by the Brentwood Post Office. Good, better, Brinkman's.
Good afternoon. I'm looking live at this crash out here in Rutherford County. It's 24 eastbound near Salem Pike. That's right before you get to Highway 231 on 24 going eastbound. It's really starting to bog down. Again, out here in Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, there's a crash at Tuscola Road at Packard at South Nashville, Ellington Parkway, James Robertson Parkway wreck over to the side. Get the lowest prices on most of your airline tickets. Smart Fare. Save you 70% off. Call 1-800-915-2544. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth, your car stereo will always sync to the most embarrassing song on your phone.
So the reservations are at 8.
Oh, great. What was that?
That was weird. Must have synced with a nearby car or something.
Truth, it's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
Let's just,
Wait, you like smooth jazz?
No, smooth jazz.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
You know when you gotta be somewhere, it's like really urgent? You don't want to do it over the phone. Some things just can't be said with an LOL or an OMG. Some things just need to be done IRL. So you're getting your Nissan Altima and drive. Feel the VC turbo engine instantly react to give you more power and efficiency, so you can get where you need to go.
Hey, Eric. What are you doing here?
Like.
Huh?
Your social post. I liked it.
Oh, thank you. You know, there's a button for that, right?
I do.
The Nissan Altima, now offering the most tech-advanced engine in its class. This is tech that helps you be there. This is Nissan Intelligent Mobility. Auto Pacific Segmentation, 2020 Altima Platinum versus latest in-market competitors in the premium midsize class. Available feature. World's first production variable compression turbo engine launched by Nissan Motor Company Limited in 2018.
Right now at the Home Depot, 'tis better to give and receive. Buy a Ryobi One Plus battery kit for just $149 and receive a select Ryobi One Plus tool free. Your choice from cordless drills to saws, even a radio. That'll make one powerful gift come Christmas morning. Actually, two powerful gifts. Buy a battery kit, get a tool for free. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through January 29th. Items must be scanned at checkout to apply while supplies last.
The George Plaster Show.
It's great. You finally landed in a place where you're going to thrive with the greatest people on sports radio, pretty much.
Weekdays starting at 2.
It's sports talk the way it should be.
The George Plaster Show.
Man, it's great to have you back, my friend.
The George Plaster Show.
This isn't going to be that much better now with George on afternoons, man. I can't wait, man.
George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio. Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson broadcasting out of the Goggin Coal Hall Studios. I heard last hour, it's in my research getting ready for the weekend with my countdown to kickoff tailgate show on Saturday. I came up with that stat when I was researching for this weekend with the fact that Notre Dame and the fact that it's out there, I don't know if they're trying to salvage the sellout as far as on Saturday this streak or not, but you know they host Navy at 1:30 on Saturday. 273 consecutive sellouts in games, home games for Notre Dame in South Bend. The streak dates back to 1973, second longest, only behind Nebraska, and all indications is coming to an end. Now, it'd be one thing, Jay, if it was coming in to a team like a directional school or something. You can't allow your streak to come to an end against one of the armed forces.
Yeah, Naval Academy.
And a Navy team that's ranked. This is the first time, based on the AP poll, that these two teams have met where both teams are ranked in the top 25. You have to go back to 1978, and your consecutive game streak is coming to an end as far as sellouts. That you can't do that.
That's not right.
So maybe they're sending it out there now because there's 48 hours away, hoping somebody will find a way to maybe buy some tickets up, and if nothing else, you know, donate them to some underprivileged kids or families in the area.
Exactly.
That would be my suggestion.
Yeah.
All right, 615-844-5600. Clay in Nashville, welcome, sir.
Johnny, how are we doing?
Life is good, Clay. How about you?
Good. It was good to meet you again today at the studio, so I know we have a face with a name now. You know, I've been thinking about it, Johnny. I should be maybe the face of callers on 560.
Wait, you broke up there. You were talking about what again?
The face of callers on 560.
All right.
I fully support 560. It's, you know, I love listening to, but to me, Johnny, and I mean this in all sincerity, FM sports talk radio, and I do call some shows occasionally. I call, the main one I call is Willie Donick and Darren McFarland, because I know Willie from when he played basketball Vandy. But to me, the difference in AM sports talk and FM sports talk, and I know that y'all have guests too.
And we also have FM, too.
Right, correct. But FM, the shows that are only, you know, on FM, 102.5, 104.5, they seem to have so many guests. And to me, it's more about the guests than it is about the callers. And I like, you know, shows that let people call in, voice their opinion, give them their time on the radio, things like that. That's why you know, fully support this channel and love calling in to all these shows.
And my thing is I like to do a blend. Honestly, I like to, you know, start an hour with an open segment. Like my first hour, usually a couple of open segments, then a guest. And then, like, my second hour, I'll have an open segment guest, an open segment, then a guest, or vice versa, something along those lines. And I like to do a little bit of mixture, and then gives callers who are either stuck in traffic and just want to listen, they can listen. Or if they want to weigh into some of the things they're hearing and interact, you know, the opportunity is there for them as well.
So you told me, I asked you the question today, if you remember, at the station, is Derek Mason going to be Vandy's football coach next year? And you said you didn't see how they could keep him.
Well, the point I was making, and I made it earlier this week, and it's simple as this. If you want to come out and say, all right, Derek Mason is our head coach, and not for just another year, we're going to make this work. In other words, you can't just say he'll be back for 1 year, because there's need to be some changes made to the assistant coaches, because players are obviously not getting coached up when they get there overall on both sides of the ball. And so you're not going to be able to just bring in a coach for 1 year if they think it's just going to be 1 year. You're not going to have somebody uproot their family and their kids and come into Nashville just for 1 year to be a part of that staff. So, but do I think Vanderbilt will make a statement like that? Absolutely not. And so that's why, if you don't finish strong, if you're Vanderbilt and you don't win, I mean, I think the only way you look at it, I don't necessarily think he has to win all three of these games, but he has to look respectable against Kentucky, beat East Tennessee State, and beat Tennessee again. Or, other way around, beat Kentucky, beat East Tennessee State, and lose in the waning moments of a game over in Knoxville against Tennessee. It has to be probably one of those, you know, a reason for the staff, I mean, for the administration to believe that there's still hope and optimism and moving forward. Otherwise, if you lay an egg these last three, I don't see any way possible.
You just took the words out of my mouth, Johnny, because that's basically what I was going to say. You've got to figure, although we did lose to UNLV, which was, you know, embarrassing, unacceptable, whatever you want to call it, and that's kind of what started a lot of this talk about Derek Mason, you know, being fired. But my opinion is, and I'm going to play the Vandy Tennessee scenario here, my 2 cents worth on how it's going to play out. I do think Vanderbilt, obviously they will beat East Tennessee State. So that's their third win.
I'm not giving you anything after losing to UNLV. I don't think there's an obvious on if Vanderbilt approaches that game, oh, this is an obvious win, they will lose.
Well, that's a good point. I guess as a Vandy fan, you can't really count anything. UNLV showed us that, but.
Our next guest, we need to let you go only because our next guest is ready and lined up. And I guarantee you, and when he was competing in figure skating and representing our country, he never approached any type of meet thinking, oh, I got this. I don't even have to bring my A game. I got that, because that's the time when you fall down and have one of your worst performances. But appreciate your phone call, Clay. All right, coming up on the other side, it's always a fun treat to visit with our next guest, one of the true ambassadors, not just from a sports standpoint, but what he means and represents as far as the Nashville, Middle Tennessee area. Scott Hamilton coming up on the other side. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. They finally moved that rank on the side there on 24 eastbound at Salem Pike out in Rutherford County. It's just heavy out here on all the major outbound routes. Really busy on the South Loop, the West Loop. Wreck with injuries tying up Murfreesboro Pike at McGavick Pike. Be aware of that intersection tied up. Also Caldwell at Granny White Pike with injuries. Hey, if you're in a bind needing cash, Choice Cash now has a way to borrow up to $10,000. Call Choice Cash now at 1-800-658-9816. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy?
Mom, you really don't have
twinsies.
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that 4-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee.
introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth, you will certainly send any text about your supervisor to your supervisor.
What's with Janet's bangs? Did she lose a bet with a weed whacker? LOL. And sent. Wait, no.
Truth, it's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
Janet, I think my phone was hacked or something.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, broadcasting from the Goggin Coal Hall Studios. This segment brought to you by Lanham's AC Service, your local Rube Pro partner. It's never a dull day when you get to visit with our next guest. I've had our next guest on our show now for, this is the fourth straight year at this time of year, Scott Hamilton, gold medalist from the Olympics as far as figure skating in 1984, a resident here of Middle Tennessee. All around great guy. Scott, thank you as always, and welcome back.
No, thank you. This is great. I mean, I really appreciate you helping me promote again, and thanks for the nice words you said to the last guest. I appreciate that as well.
Well, look, it's true. And first of all, we're talking about the fourth annual Scott Hamilton and Friends event coming up on Sunday, November 24th at Bridgestone Arena, co-hosted by Sheryl Crow. I've been to all three previous events, and it keeps getting better and better each and every year. And before we get into this year's lineup with the musical guests, you know, for those that are maybe new to Nashville, Middle Tennessee, you go, okay, I know who Scott Hamilton is. What is this all about, the Scott Hamilton and Friends event?
Well, it's, you know, cancer has been an unbelievable player in my life. And, you know, I lost my mother to cancer when I was very young, and then I survived cancer when I was in my 20s. So I knew it was important to be involved. I learned so much in those experiences that I knew that I had to, you know, do whatever I could to make the cancer community different and better in any way that I possibly could. So when I lost my mom, I became a fundraiser. And then when I survived cancer, I realized all that was missing in the cancer community, and I realized I had to be more of an activist. So, you know, for the last 20 years, you know, since we launched CARES as an initiative with the Cleveland Clinic, and then for the last five as a dedicated foundation, we've really tried to fill the gaps in the cancer community and do whatever we can to make the next journey better, easier. And now, as a research foundation, all we want to do is change the way cancer is treated forever. And so we do events, we bring people together, and you know, we do what I do. We skate. I have a lot of friends that live in Nashville. So we have, you know, musician friends, all have been impacted by cancer. Sheryl Crow, my co-host for the last 4 years, has been, she's a cancer survivor. And so it's important to, you know, do whatever you can to, you know, make it better, you know, make the community stronger, better, deeper, and to try to save lives. And that's what we do.
Well, in this year's event, too, first of all, some personal friends of mine, Six Wire, the backing band this year.
Oh, but, man, they're awesome.
And, but for those that don't know how this works, you get some of the, not just the top U.S. figure skaters out there, you also grasp from the pool of the world's best as well. And they're skating to live music. So whether you're talking about Sheryl Crow, but this year your musical guest includes Kenny Loggins, Gavin DeGraw, Jonathan Cain, who wrote some of those key hits for Journey, formerly with the Babies. I mean, talk about the lineup and the idea and concept when you thought, okay, it'd be cool to have a figure skating event. How can we make it extra special and add that Nashville flavor? Well, you certainly were able to do that.
Well, I'm a huge music fan. It started years ago, you know, when I was working with the Cleveland Clinic, and we do a big show in Cleveland where you'd have one artist come out and do a couple songs. And then it became a thing that's like, well, why are we, they're here anyway. We might as well do a whole show of their music. And I got to work with all my heroes, you know, growing up, not all, but most of my heroes growing up. And now when we're in Nashville, it's really great to be able to, you know, have so many different artists of different genres and everything. And we're going to have rock and country and kind of like, you know, alternative. And then we've got Christian music in the show as well. And when you have live music in every single song, and which is really important to me, you know, every single song, and it makes you really comfortable listening to it. And then you see it interpreted, it's kind of movement to music with the best skaters, some of which are the best skaters that ever lived in their genre, in their discipline. It's beyond spectacular. It's like you don't know where to look. You know, it's like I want to watch my music, but it's like I'm watching, and then I see this incredible athleticism and artistry going on in front of me in such a powerful way, and it's almost like sensory overload. It was so funny when Vince Gill did my show in Cleveland years ago. After about four songs, he goes, "I just got to tell y'all." He goes, "This is by far the most ignored I've ever been my entire career."
I love that.
No, but I mean, it was just—he got the joke. And when you see the artists, when we're putting the show together, and they're seeing the skating in front of them for the very first time. Like Ryan Bradley will do one of his big upside down flip things, and the musician will stop for a second and go, "Oh, I gotta get back into the song," you know, and they kind of forget where they are for a second. And it's really, it's beyond spectacular. It's a great way to bring people together for a common cause. And, you know, we truly celebrate life in a really unique way.
You know, you're a cancer survivor, your co-host, Sheryl Crow, cancer survivor, and both residents here at Middle Tennessee. How did you two connect and start working together?
You know, it's really wild. You know, the first time I met Sheryl was at the 2002 Olympics in Salt Lake City. She was doing a concert, and I was in one of the hotel lobbies. Meeting some people to do some media, and I ran into Sheryl in the lobby, and I was so taken aback because I was a huge fan of hers, right? You know, like we all are. And I met her, I go, "Man, she's a lot smaller than I thought she was," you know. And then, you know, years later, she moved to Nashville after she survived cancer, and we were connected again through a mutual friend, and Brad and Kim Paisley. And my wife and I got just hit it off with Sheryl, and Tracy and Sheryl are so close. You know, we've got, she's got two boys. We have two boys, birth children, two adopted children. And, you know, Sheryl's boys are adopted. And we realize that we have more in common than we don't. And I saw it with Sheryl years ago. You know what? It'll go back to Memphis. You know, we went to see her show at Mud Island at the amphitheater there. And we're after the show, you know, we're gushing and, you know, what a great show. And she looks at me and she goes, "I want to do your show in Cleveland." And I said, "Well, Sheryl, I never wanted to ask you. I didn't want that to be ever, you know, like, I didn't want to overstep the bounds of our friendship." And she goes, No, "I'm asking you." And it was like, what in the world just happened? So she came to Cleveland, she did the show. And then when we launched as a foundation and the Nashville, you know, event started, you know, becoming real, I met her for breakfast and I said, "I want this to be our show. I want this to be you and me coming together for cancer." And she said, "I'm in." And so, you know, the first 3 years, her band, you know, it was her and Star and everything. And then this last year, she had a gigantic, if you haven't heard her latest record.
Oh, it's outstanding. Absolutely outstanding.
It's a masterpiece. And so she went out all year to support the record. And so she said, "I'll come and co-host, but I really can't be involved in the same way I was before because my band is fried." And I said, "Totally get it." And so, you know, the last show I ever performed in ever as like my, you know, kind of my production, I brought the guys in from Six Wire to be the band, and we did a show in Lake Placid. And that was the last time I performed as a performing artist skater on ice. And so we've just held this great friendship, and, you know, Chuck and Steve and all the guys, they're just good friends and they're phenomenal musicians. And so when Sheryl, you know, stepped aside this year, they were absolutely the most logical candidates to step in and just take over where Cheryl and Peter Stroud, her band leader, you know, left off. And you know, having Cheryl still involved as kind of the ringmaster, and then having this band play for all these iconic artists, and every single song will be familiar. I mean, it's just the way we're opening the show this year is going to just blow people out of their seats. It's unbelievable. It's just incredible the way we're going to come out just right out of the gate. It's like game on, and it's going to skate big. It's going to skate great, and people are going to love every single song played.
Scott Hamilton joining us again. Yeah, you mentioned Chuck Tilly of Six Wire. He used to be my next-door neighbor about 20 years ago down in Franklin. And then I've known Steve back in the days when he used to work with Phil Vassar. We're talking about they're the house band for the Nashville Predators. You saw them as backing up during the NFL draft festivities back in April. Outstanding band members there. And you saw a lot of Steve's work, too, on the old TV show Nashville as well.
Yeah.
By the way, I never asked you this, and you know, I knew 1984 was the glory year for you, but you know, when you think about the trials and tribulations, you know, you began figure skating at 13,
at age nine.
Well, then you almost got out of it, but it wasn't just like you show up and you win events. I mean, you had your trials and tribulations before you got your gold medal in 1984. I mean, in 1980, you actually qualified and you actually represented the U.S. as far as at the Winter Olympics there, and actually had the honor of carrying the American flag as well.
Yeah, when they told me I was carrying the flag, I just said, why? I'm the third guy in a three-man team. I have no chance of meddling. I'm almost like a skating, competing tourist here at this Olympic Games. And they said they didn't really want it to be about, you know, the flag bearer. They didn't want this team to be represented by, you know, medals and some, you know, that kind of rarefied air of winning gold medals or anything. They really wanted it to be about the journey. And so I was like, wow. Yeah, I can represent that really well, because, you know, for all those years that I was on the novice level, and, you know, I was terrible. I went to nationals the first year on the novice level, and I fell five times in my long program and came in dead last. And it was humiliating. And the next year I went to nationals again, I came in next to last. And then the next year I went to nationals in the junior level and I only beat two guys, you know. So my kind of time in the lower levels, and I try to really, pour into my kids saying there's nothing about, you know, your athletic involvement or adventure that it's a destination. It's all part of the journey. And you've got to lose a lot in order to figure out how to win. And honestly, you learn a lot more from losing than you do from winning. Because when you lose, you get a lot of feedback. And I got a ton of feedback early on. And by the time I was able to figure it out, it was just timing was perfect for me. You know, I figured it out. I got a jump that nobody else was doing at that point, and I was able to establish myself. And my technique was solid and reliable, so I was able to consistently and never really take myself out of a competition. So I kind of figured it out over time, but there was a huge, long, dedicated stretch where it was like, oh my, I'm like, self-esteem wasn't a part of the equation.
I want to ask you a personal question, but I know that just because of your attitude, and it probably has changed over the last three decades. We talk about you being a cancer survivor, and has your attitude always been like it is now? It's like, okay, you get bad news. You got some more bad news, what, back in 2016, but you always keep fighting, and you always have this incredible attitude. And I think when you hear other folks going through it maybe the first time, I say, just look at Scott, you know, look and read about Scott. Just you can use so much of your energy and your attitude to help stay positive, especially when you get bad news like this. But you've been incredible throughout your many battles.
Well, I mean, you know, I when I wrote my last book, Finish First, you know, it was, you know, it's sort of a, a kind of a guide to, you know, really approaching your life in a competitive way of, you know, being whatever. But I had to figure out how many times in one chapter about failure, how many times I fell, and I fell, you know, minimum 41,600 times. And I think about that. I think about falling down 41,600 times and then getting up 41,600 times. And I realized that, you know, I failure is a part of it, you know, and I try to use the examples that, you know, if you're a baseball player and you only fail 2 out of 3 times, you're in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
You know? And it's like that. It's like, you know, when we get knocked down, it's not so much about what the knockdown is, it's how we respond to it. And I guess I've been really lucky that in all those years that I lost, you know, a lot and failed young, it just fortified me so that I wasn't really afraid of it anymore. And when I was really, you know, I guess 4 to 8, I pretty much lived in hospitals because I had a childhood illness. So when I got sick, you know, I'd already built that muscle where, you know, I survived something frightening and mysterious, and I really wasn't afraid of that anymore. And then when I came to faith, you know, I realized that, you know, our bodies are very fragile, incredibly fragile, phenomenally resilient, but ultimately temporary. So I kind of live with that understanding that today is an opportunity to get out and do something great and fun and to pour into my kids and to breathe in, breathe out. And I try not to sweat the small stuff, you know, like I used to. And, you know, once you kind of adopt that kind of mentality day to day, and I love people and I really want to serve people, you know, I realize that I can work with that, and it can be a driving force in my life day to day.
Well, I think the world of you, and the fact that you're here in our backyard here in Middle Tennessee, it makes it even more special. And once again, the event is coming up on Sunday, November 24th, 5 p.m. at Bridgestone Arena, the 4th annual Scott Hamilton and Friends event. You're a nice mixture. We're talking about not just the U.S., but some of the world's great skaters, Olympic, world, and national champions, mixed with an incredible lineup of music artists as well. And let our listeners know again, you mean, obviously, look, I've been to the first three. You will want to go to this event. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster, also at the Bridgestone box office. But for those, are there other different ways that people can help as far as the Scott Hamilton Cares Foundation?
Oh, please. Yeah, they can go on scottcares.org, scottcares.org, and get involved, you know, if any way that you possibly can. Volunteer, become a monthly contributor, get involved with what we're doing, learn more about, you know, how we, you know, we're a pretty collaborative, good citizen. We're going over all of our research proposals now, and it's amazing how, you know, we're not really interested in being a silo. We work really well with the V Foundation for cancer research, and we work well with Moffitt Cancer Center, Sloan Kettering, Vanderbilt, Cleveland Clinic. I mean, we really try to work with quality, you know, institutions of excellence, but we also know that we've been given a unique opportunity to really build something special, but I can't do it alone. I mean, I wish I could, but you know, I'm in that kind of that mode of, you know, Danny Thomas was one of my big heroes. And,
right.
You know, he just said, I'd rather get a dollar from a million people than $1 million from one person. I'm kind of both, you know. Honestly, I'm not going to pick. I'm just, whatever we can do to.
We'll take the dollar. And if you got a million handy, hey, we'll take that as well.
We'll take that too. And honestly, you know, it's like, you know, we're here to make it better. We're here to make life better and really be collaborative and try to create treatment options that are, you know, we don't want chemotherapy anymore. We don't want radiation anymore. We want forms of treatment that allow our bodies to do what it does best, and that's, you know, get past illness. And cancer is like any other illness. So we really, you know, we depend on people coming in and partnering with us, and cancer is the number one cause of death, and there's no one that hasn't been impacted by cancer in some way, shape, or form. So we're just trying to do our part to, or more, you know, build the infrastructure to change cancer forever for the better and save lives.
I mean, I know God plays a major role and faith plays a major role in your life. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how God was able to pack such a big heart and what an incredible soul and a 5'4 frame, but he certainly did it with you.
And I'm shrinking, so I'm getting even more concentrated. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's like, it's surreal. I look at this and I get to talk to you, and all your listeners would love this opportunity to interact with you like I just have. And I really, I'm really grateful for the opportunity to come out and just shout from the rooftops and let people know they can make a difference in their community and just to please partner with us.
Keep winning the battle, Scott. Thank you so much for taking time out with us.
God bless you, Johnny. Thank you so much.
God bless you, buddy. Scott Hamilton, just doesn't get any better than that. One of the biggest hearts of an individual I have ever met, ever been around, and what a just another incredible person that lives here in our backyard here in Middle Tennessee. All right, coming up, we'll wrap up hour number one. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Quite heavy out here now. It's expected 440 eastbound, trying to squeeze through that construction right there from Hillsboro Pike down to the 65 split. 65 northbound at Wedgewood. There's an accident just adding to that slowdown now on 65 north as you head up to the South Loop. Just busy out here where you would expect. 65 up through Madison right now, trying to get past OHB. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out for dinner tonight. 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
The final lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
Matt Tift has parted ways with Front Row Motorsports due to his recent health issues. He said, quote, "I've made the decision to focus on my health, and there's no rush or timetable to get back behind the wheel. Because of that, I can't commit to racing full-time in 2020. I can't say when I'll be ready to race again, but I believe I will come back. I love this sport, the people, and I would like to be a part of it next year in some capacity," end quote. Daniel Hemric has landed a ride driving the number 8 car. Again. Confused? Well, this time it's in the Xfinity Series, and it's for Junior Motorsports, and he's going to share the ride with Jeb Burton and his boss man, Dale Earnhardt Jr., who's going to get behind the wheel for one race next year. Hemric said, quote, "I want to thank Dale, Kelly, and everyone at Junior Motorsports for believing in me. For a Kannapolis boy like me, driving for the Earnhardt family is pretty awesome," end quote. It's Denny Hamlin's birthday this weekend. Oh, and he's running for the championship as well.
Homestead's always birthday weekend, so I wanted to have two reasons to celebrate, not just one. I'm going to enjoy it, enjoy the moment, because all you can ask for when you started the year was an opportunity for a chance to compete for a championship, and we have a chance to compete. And that's it's goal accomplished. Now we just got to go out there and do it.
The final lap. The holiday season is here, and it's time for our best offer of the year during the Ford Black Friday event. Now, for a limited time, get 20% estimated savings on select 2019 Ford models. You're ready, and so are we. Start the season off right, and don't wait to enjoy our best deal of the season. That is 20% estimated savings on select 2019 Ford models. The Ford Black Friday event ends soon, so hurry in today. Eligible on select 2019 model year vehicles. Vehicle must have arrived at dealer at least 61 days prior to the sale date. Estimated savings include an average dealer discount based on a sales survey of average discounts offered by Ford dealers nationally. Discount may vary. Dealer determines price. For all offers, take new retail delivery from an authorized Ford dealer stock by December 2nd, 2019. See participating dealer for complete details.
Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR SkyCan Forecast. For today, mostly sunshine with a high near 50. Cloud cover this evening is going to trap in the chilly. It's going to be low around 27. For Friday, mostly sunshine with a high 47. And for the weekend, more sunshine with an average high of 53. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Shannon Holly.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now, 615-844-5600.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. I'd like to invite you to check out Lanham's AC service, especially now that the weather is getting cooler, so you might have some heating concerns. But same thing applies during the hot summer months, you know, trying to find ways to cool off. Nobody in Middle Tennessee better equipped to serve your needs than Lanham's AC service, your local Rood Pro partner. From heating and cooling issues to water heaters, you can count on Lanham's AC service and Rood HVAC equipment with a system that fits your unique needs. Serving the area for over 30 years, owner Brian Eskew and his team dedicated to providing the best possible solutions for your home or business, and they do it with the name brands like Rood you have come to trust. I should know, I have a new Rood in my house, plus I've been a loyal customer of Lanham's AC service for almost a decade. Remember, financing is available, and they service and repair all brands. So call today to schedule a service or maintenance call, 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065. Or go to lanhamsacservice.com. Do me a favor. Let them know that Nashville Sports Radio sent you. Coming up at the other side of the break, Joe Rexroad, columnist with The Athletic here in Nashville. Also at the bottom of the hour, Doug Segrist out of Birmingham with The Zone on ABC 3340.